Most of you know old Brother Travis Tucker has been in the hospital down at Tupelo for some time. He's going to be released today at noon. Then he's going to Corinth to stay with his sister till after the Christmas holiday. He will then return to Tupelo in the hospital where they're doing some diagnostic tests on his kidneys. We don't have the full detail of it, so I'll not try to give it to you at this time. But we continue to pray for Brother Travis that all will be well with him. Good to have you present for this Lord's Day morning service. Remember, the service is throughout this day, this evening. Brother Brian will be preaching to you at the 6 o'clock hour, and if possible, be back at that time. I join with Larry in saying we are happy that Bridget Beasley was baptized on Wednesday night, one of our fine young ladies. She's with us today, and we're always glad to see Bridget. This next week will be a busy week. Christmas on Tuesday. People, of course, will be busy, I'm sure, at that time. And then Garland and Jennifer will be married the latter part of the week. Rehearsal on Friday night and the wedding on Saturday. And then we'll be ready for the next Lord's Day, which I believe will be the final Lord's Day in this month. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you and hope everyone has a nice holiday season with their families, if such is possible, and with your friends, and that it'll be a safe one. And we're certainly thankful to God for all of His manifold blessings, which He has so abundantly placed upon us from time to time. I'm going to speak to you for just a few minutes today on walled-in salvation. One of the hardest things for a lot of people to understand is that God has closed in salvation in certain areas. Now, that doesn't mean that area is the Savior. God is the Savior. But He has closed it in. He has walled it in. And whether we like it or not, this is the way it is in the Bible. I'm going to prove it by the Scriptures, if you'll follow me. I have not one example, but several of them. Used to be a song out in the West Texas. I used to hear it, "Don't Fence Me In." I like the skies, the wide open skies. Don't fence me in. And some people don't want to be fenced in regard to salvation. They want to be footloose and fancy free. And they want to feel that they can be saved any way they want to. But the truth about the matter is, God, in His plan, in His infinite love, in His mercy, in His plan, has walled in salvation. And I'm going to prove that to you by a number of examples here in the Bible. If you'll notice the chart here, I believe we have it up here. Yes, we have it. We have the Ark of the Covenant. We have the house. We have the city of refuge. And we have the ship. And then especially this right here is the church. A lot of people say, "Oh, I can be saved out of the church." I'm going to prove to you that you cannot be saved out of the church. The church is not the Savior. But you can't be saved out of the church because God has walled it in. I'll be giving you some scripture along that line as we move along in our study. So let's start with the ark, which was built in the days of Noah. All of you are familiar with the antediluvian world, and you heard many stories about Noah and how he was told to build an ark and that God was going to destroy the world with water, which He did. And Noah constructed this ark, and then God said, "Come thou into the ark," and the door was shut, and so those people in the ark. And then it began to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and He broke up the fountains of the deep and opened up the windows of heaven. And everything was destroyed except Noah and his family. You know, I'd been preaching for a long time before I noticed a word, and sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, a word will hit me, and I'll think, "Why did I miss that before?" And that word that I'd been missing is right there. That word, see that little word right there? That's only. People don't like that word. They detest it. If you talk about certain people, the only one's going to be saved, they call you bigoted, narrow-minded, unchristian. Did you know that in the Bible, in that verse I have up there, that the word "only" is used? It says Noah only and his family were saved. Someone said, "I don't like that." You know, when Noah was building the ark, some fellow could have come around and said, "Brother Noah, what you doing?" "Well, I'm building an ark." "Why are you building an ark?" "Well, God told me to." "Well, what are you going to do with it?" "Well, it's going to be a flood. And everybody's going to be destroyed except the ones in my ark." Would you mind repeating that, Noah? Everybody will be destroyed except the ones in this ark I'm building. "You mean you're the only ones going to be saved?" "Yep. That's the way it is." That's the most narrow-minded, bigoted, egotistical statement I have ever heard in my life, Noah. To say that you're the only ones going to be saved and you have to get into your little old ark in order to be saved. Why don't you broaden out in your mind? Noah would say, "Well, let me tell you something. God has walled in salvation, and whether you like it or not, you can't be saved unless you get into this ark I'm building." And did you know that was the truth? Noah only. O-N-L-Y. Noah only was saved. You know, I got a tongue lashing one time from a man. I told him that only God's people in the church would be saved. And he gave me a tongue lashing. Because he was looking at it from the standpoint of the world. And I was looking at it from the standpoint of the Bible. Depends on how you want to look at it, friend. Are you listening to me? See if that word's not in your Bible. And digest it. Noah only. It's in there. He's the only one. You can call him narrow-minded. You can call him bigoted. You can call it anything you want to call it. But the flood came and took them all away. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, Matthew 24, the people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day the flood came and took them all away. Then it's too late. It's too late. Now, you can do all the talking you want to, but when the flood came, it was too late. Someone says, "Don't you think a lot of those people, when it started raining, went up there and beat on the door of Noah and said, 'Let me in and let me in'?" I suspect they did if they could get there before the water got up about this high. I imagine they tried to tear the door down. But the door was shut. Too late. Too little, too late. And that's the way it's going to be at judgment. Too little, too late. That's why Jesus gave that warning. And he compared the coming of the flood with the second coming of Jesus. He sure did. And that's the way it is. Now, what I want to point out to you is that God walled in salvation within the confines of the ark. Now, the ark wasn't a savior. God was a savior. But only the saved were in the ark. Let's go to the next one over there, the house. In Exodus 12th chapter, and I'm just briefly going to go over this. I don't have time to go into detail on it. This is during the Passover, and these Jews had to put blood on the doorpost and the post above, lamb of the first year without spot and blemish. And then what we call the death angel came over, and if they had applied the blood and stayed in the house, then the firstborn was spared. Firstborn was spared. God walled in salvation, and he told them, "You shall not go out of the house." I want to make a point here. They could have applied the blood, all right. But if they didn't stay in the house, they still lost their firstborn. You may apply the blood by being baptized, but if you don't stay in the church and are faithful, you're still lost. Someone said, "But they applied the blood." That's right. They applied the blood, but they didn't stay in the house. God told them to stay in the house. "Ye shall not go out of it." And if they'd have gotten outside that house, the firstborn would have been killed. You follow me? God walled in salvation. Cities of refuge. Next. We read in Numbers 35. Actually, there were about six of these cities, and what happened is, when someone accidentally killed his neighbor, not deliberately, not first-degree murder, and sometimes it's possible to kill someone accidentally. If someone jumped out in front of your car and there was no way you could stop, and you hit that person, in all likelihood you'd kill them, But there was no intent in it. It was beyond your control. That person just jumped out in front of your car. And sometimes classified as manslaughter. Well, God, in His infinite love and mercy, realized that could happen to anybody. So He formed these six cities. And He said, if you'll go into these cities and stay in these cities, the city limits, said the avenger of blood can't get to you. He called them the shedder of blood and the avenger of blood. If you killed him, you're the shedder of blood, and the closest relative is the avenger of blood, and he'd come kill you. But if you stayed inside those cities of refuge, he couldn't get to you until the high priest died. And my point is that he walled in salvation within the confines of the city of refuge. And if you didn't have enough faith to stay in where God put you, which was in the city of refuge, then your life would have been in danger. That's in the book. You can read all about it if you want to. So God did wall in salvation. Last. Ship. Acts 27. Paul appealed to Caesar. He's on his way across the Mediterranean Sea. He's on this ship. He warned the centurion that they better not leave because a storm was going to come up. But the captain listened, or the centurion listened to the captain more than he did Paul. And they launched out toward the island of Malta. And sure enough, that old storm hit, known as a Euchrocydon. Oh, it was a bad storm. It was so bad that they thought everything was going to be lost. The Lord spoke to Paul and told him that they wouldn't be lost if they do what he said. If you do what I say, you'll not lose any life. At one point, some of the boys wanted to jump overboard, and Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And so the captain listened to him this time. He kept everybody on board in the ship, and therefore no one lost their life. Because God had walled in salvation in the ship. He said, except you abide in the ship. The ship wasn't the Savior. God was the Savior. But that's where He had the saved. See? I know a lot of times people will say, well, the church is not the Savior. No one claims the church is the Savior. But bless your life, you have to be in the church in order to be saved. None of these things that I have, the ark or the house or the city of refuge or the ship, none of these things were the Savior. God is the Savior. But He said, I have walled in salvation. Now, isn't that plain? I believe in simplicity. If there's any beauty in the Word of God, it's in its simplicity. And I want to tell you, anybody, even boys and girls, can understand this. Because all they have to do is look up the Scripture. And they can see. Now let's get to the last point. The church. The church which was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. It's not the Savior, but that's where the saved are. Over in Acts 2, it is said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That is when the Pentecostians obeying. If a man can be saved out of the church, he could be saved where he shouldn't be, because the saved are placed where? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Saved people are in the church. That's right. Now, the first question I want to raise is, how do you get into the church? Which is a spiritual body, by the way. It's not a physical thing like the ship or like the ark, but it is spiritual. But you still have to get into the church, because that's where salvation is. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, and I have that up there, for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. But what is the body? Well, in Ephesians 1 it says that the body is the church. It's the body of Christ. And that's right, it is. I have that up there. The church is the body. And so how does one get into the church or the body? Well, it says, for by one Spirit are you all baptized. By one Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit. But how is it that by, through the medium of the Holy Spirit, I get into the church? By doing what the Holy Spirit says. And the Holy Spirit tells you how to obey the gospel, and that baptism is a culminating or final step, and puts you into that body. And then over in Romans 6:3, it is said that know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And so the same law and the same rule that puts you into Christ puts you also into the church. God doesn't have separate laws for that. He doesn't have one rule to make you a Christian and put you into Christ and another rule to put you into the church. The same rule that puts you into Christ automatically puts you into the church. Now the denominations will say you get saved and then you join a church of your choice. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the same law and the same rule that puts you into Christ where you're saved puts you into the church. Notice that little preposition into, which we discussed not long ago. Ace. Here it is. And it's translated here because it's a verb of motion in the accusative case. It's translated into. You're baptized into the church, the body. You're baptized into Christ. That's why the Lord added to the church daily should be saved. Well, they were saved in Christ, but they were also saved in the church. And so what happens is, when you obey the gospel and when you're baptized, you're automatically a member of the body of Christ. That's right. You're part of the body of Christ. Now, may I say this, that the body of Christ refers to the church universal, not necessarily to a local church. You choose a local church later for membership. And I preached a sermon on the church and the senses in which that collective noun is used. I'll not go into it now, but the church is the body of Christ, the universal body. And so regardless as to where you are, if you're baptized properly, you're a member of the church. Now, you may essay to join yourself to the disciples in a locality, as Paul did. Now, that's a local congregation for work, worship, and fellowship, which we are here today at West Boonville for work, worship, and fellowship. This is a local congregation. The body of Christ is the church universal. And so when these people were baptized, they were added to the church, that is, the body of Christ. So they were members of the church, it would make a difference where they are. That's right. Now, God levies upon you the responsibility to become a part of a local congregation for work, worship, and fellowship, which is another issue, and we could talk on that also if we wanted to. But my point is that you're baptized into Christ, into the body. Now, if a person can be saved out of the church, I want you to notice what I have up here, number one, saved without the blood, Acts 20:28. Paul said, feed the churches of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood. If you get any benefit of the blood of Christ, you've got to be into the church which caused his blood. Or you wouldn't get any benefit out of the blood of Christ. So what did he give his blood for? Well, the Bible says he gave it for the church. I just gave it to you there. Well, you can see it on the chart. He gave his blood for the church. Therefore, if you could be saved out of the church, you could be saved without the blood of Christ. And who would believe that? Well, not many folks. So that's number one. Number two, you could be saved without reconciliation. Craig read from Ephesians, the second chapter. And I'm going to read just a little bit of this, if you don't mind, because I think it'll focus your mind back on something that's very important. He said, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You brethren at Ephesus, you members of the body, you members of the church, you members of the church now, but you were what? Well, he said you were aliens, strangers, having no hope. When? When they were out of the church. And I'm going to show you, he's talking about the body in just a moment, if you'll follow me in the reading. So, first of all, you have people who are aliens, who are strangers, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, before they're members of the church. Then listen to this. But now, in Christ, Jesus, and I showed you that being in Christ is the same as being in His body, which is the church. He says, ye that sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's that blood again. But how? In the body of Christ. The blood in the body. You get into the body by taking advantage of the blood which was given for the body. Acts 20:28. Okay? Now listen to this. For He is our peace, who hath made us one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that is, Jew and Gentile, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now listen to this. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body. What I have up there? Say, if you can be saved out of the church, you can be saved without reconciliation. And I'm reading verse 16 at this time. Where is reconciliation? Well, I just read it. It says in the one body. But what is the body? The body is the church. If you can be saved out of the church, you can be saved without reconciliation. Do you follow me? That's what Paul said. You know what reconciliation means? It's a compound word. Re means again. Conciliate means to be brought back. Now that implies something. That implies that we had drifted away from God. We were in sin, but through Christ and in the church, by the blood, we are reconciled unto God. But if you can be saved out of the church, you could be saved without what? You could be saved without reconciliation. Who could believe that? Now, isn't that plain? I'm reading it. It's in the text. Reconciled where? He says, in the body. And the body is the church. By the cross, having slain the enmity there, and come and preach peace unto you that were far off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers. You people in the church at Ephesus, you're no more strangers. You're no more foreigners, but fellow citizens. Therefore, if a person can be saved out of the body, he can be saved without being a fellow citizen. Who could believe it? I'm reading it. It's in the text. Reconciliation is in the body. Being a fellow citizen is in the body, in the church. Not out of the church, but in the church. A fellow citizen, listen to this, with the saints, saints are in the church, and of the household of God. What is the household of God? Paul says that thou mightest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Therefore, the church, the household of God, is the church. And therefore, where do we become fellow citizens? In the household of God. I just read it. It's in the household of God. Now, you tell me you can be saved out of the church. Now, what we have in summary is this. If you can be saved out of the body of Christ, where He walled in salvation, you can be saved without the blood of Christ, without reconciliation, without being a fellow citizen, and you could be saved where you shouldn't be. And then Ephesians 5:23, over in the next chapter or two, he said, He is the Savior of the body. You know, Jesus hadn't promised to save anything except His body, and His body is the church. Therefore, if you're going to be saved, you have to be in the church, because that's what He's going to save. You can't show me where He's promised to save anything except His body. And His body is the church. Therefore, God has walled in salvation. Now I'm going to summarize, and then I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Very few minutes. First of all, I gave you all these examples, which you see up there, where God walled in salvation from the beginning of time. Then we drop down here to the church, which shows today, right here in Boonville, Mississippi. If you want to be saved, you've got to get into the church, because that's where the saved are. Now, you can cry all you want to, and you can say, well, the church is not the Savior, and all of that. No one has ever said the church is the Savior. None of these things would be the Savior. The Savior's God and Christ, of course. They're the ones that save you. But they've walled it in. They put it in the church, the body of Christ. And so when you believe the gospel and repent of your sins and confess His name, and when you're willing to be baptized, as I have up there on a jar. Baptized into the body, you're baptized into the church. And then if you serve God diligently and faithfully, as we should, this body is going to be delivered up. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says the kingdom will be delivered up. What is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom's the church. The Lord used them interchangeably in Matthew 16, 18, and 19. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you is this. Not that the church is the Savior, but you have to be in the church in order to be saved, because He is the Savior of the body. I hope if you're here today and you're subject and you haven't become a part of this blood-bought, Spirit-filled institution known as the church, that you will come as the one on Wednesday night and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I want to be baptized into that body. I want the Lord to add me to that church that He did in apostolic time. And I guarantee you the Lord will. The Lord will. Now, the only thing I can do as a preacher is to assist you in the obedience. I'm not the Savior. I can assist you, though, in obedience, as any evangelist can or any other person can. Could assist you in your obedience unto God so that you can be inducted into this Spirit-filled institution for which Jesus gave His blood. And so if you're here and you need to renew your allegiance to God through repentance, or you need to be baptized to get into this one body to be saved, I hope I've made this plain enough that everybody can see it, and I believe I have. I hope today that it'll be the great hour of decision, that you'll fall into the overtures of mercy and be saved upon the simple terms of the gospel. So if you're here and subject to the invitation, we're just hoping and praying. This is the great hour of decision. Shall we stand and sing our invitation?